All right, take your Bibles one more time and turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 18. Psalm 18. I'd like to just read verses 43 to 46. Psalm 18. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people. Thou hast made me the head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. The strangers shall fade away and be afraid out of their close places. The Lord liveth. And blessed be my rock. And let the God of my salvation be exalted. I've entitled this message, Salvation Secure. The older I get, the more I read concerning salvation. I realize that while the world and its religious practices of works, and gimmicks, and games, trying to appeal to man's flesh, I'm more and more convinced it just gives men a false security. The Lord has taught his people, his elect. God's got a people, an elect, Jew and Gentiles, that they're going to be called unto him, and they're going to be called through the preaching of the gospel. Now, you know, when I make a statement like that, it's like I always need to clarify it, because I want to hear it and I want you to hear it. The gospel. Remember this, the gospel, it's not an offer. The gospel is not an offer. The gospel is the declaration from these scriptures of what God Almighty has eternally purposed to do and has done and is doing in the salvation of his elect. God has a people and he's going to save them. He's going to save them. He's going to save them from themselves. He's going to be sure. Now, for a moment, I want us to look at the biblical declaration of how God saves his people. And I realize, I think of that passage so many times, Paul says to say the same things unto you, to me is not grievous. He said, for you it's safe. Because let me tell you what's going to happen. All of us are going to stand before God. We're all going to stand before God. And do you know there's going to be one thing that matters? What think you of Christ? That's it. That's it. What think you of Christ? Was he somebody that was offered to men, you know, for them to decide, you know, well, I don't know. I'm not really. Or was he declared to be and revealed to my heart to be the sovereign Savior of sinners that came into this world and lived for them and died for them, put away their guilt by his blood, robed them in his righteousness, kept them by his power, saved them by grace, and gave them faith to believe it. Now, which is it? It's one way or the other. Either he's a helpless, you know, somebody that's wanting to do something, or else he's God. Now, what think you of Christ? So I want us to look for a minute here in Psalm 18 that declares who God is. Who is God? And I want us to see the faithfulness of God to save his people from their sins. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. I'll just read this to you. It's in John chapter 6. He came into this world to do something. He came into this world to do something. John 6, 38 to 40. This is what the scripture says he came into this world to do. He said, verse 38, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Well, I know why he came. He came to do the will of the Father. Okay? What's the will of the Father? Well, the Lord says, and this, verse 39, "This is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me." Now, you know what I just read? That God the Father has given him somebody. He's given him somebody. Now, the world can refute election and affect choosing and selecting. The scripture says, "This is the Father's will, that of all which he's given me, I should lose nothing." You know what that means? That means that all that the Father gave him, Dick, he's not going to lose any of them. He's not going to lose any of them. "But I should raise it up again at the last day." You know what that means? In the last day, everyone that the Father gave the Son is going to save, and he's going to raise them up on the last day. And they're going to be raised in power and majesty according to God's will and God's purpose. That's what it means. "And this," verse 40, "is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Now that he came into this world on purpose. He came up this world to do that which the Father sent him to do. Now while this whole world makes salvation to be unsure, and that's you can only just look with me for just a few minutes and just think on what I'm saying here. If salvation is based on whether or not a man makes a decision. You know, I heard Brother Henry Mahan say one time, he said, you know, if you believe that salvation is according to man's will and man's choice and man's free will, and you know, if you believe that, don't pray to God anymore. That the Lord, you think, is wanting to save everybody. That's what the Lord wants, to save everybody. So don't pray to him. He's already declared what, you know, his will is. He won't save everybody if that's what you think, which is not what Scripture says. But he said, pray to the ones that's trying to make the decision. Pray to them. They're the ones that's going to make the decision one way or the other. Just pray to them instead. If salvation's left in their hands, then go to them. Don't go to the Lord. You're wasting your time. But see how foolish that sounds? This world's religion makes salvation to be based totally on what a man does. And here's the problem. Man's dead. False religion makes no sense whatsoever. It makes no sense. It's just foolish. It's a deception. It's a lie. It's a lie. You can't. There's no hope in it. There's no security in it. That is not salvation according to this book. That's not. God's salvation is sure. The will of the Lord's going to be done. Almighty God has declared in Revelation that the Lamb's Book of Life was written when? You know that. Before the foundation of the world. Every name that's ever been written in Christ was written before the foundation of the world. They're all written in his book. And you know what the will of the Lord is? The will of the Father sent the Son into the world, and everyone that He gave Him, everyone that He'd given me, I should lose none of them. And guess how many He's going to lose? None of them. He's going to save them all. And He's going to save them through the preaching of this gospel right here. The truth that honors God and doesn't honor men. And so here's, I got some hope. Somebody said, well, you know, you don't seem to see any activity or something like that. Well, I'm going to leave that up to the Lord. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to preach the same gospel. I'm going to keep proclaiming the same message, because I can tell you for a fact, God's going to save His people. Now, I want us to just look at this, at the biblical salvation. What happens when God is pleased to save a sinner? Psalm 18, verse 43-44. The scripture says, Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people. Now, you know, if you look at the beginning of this psalm at the top, verse 18, it says, you may have a little description. It says, the servant of the Lord, this is a psalm of David, servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And it goes on. And without a doubt, I'm convinced that this psalm, humanly speaking, was penned according to God's deliverance of David, regular King David, the man, and deliverance from his enemies. And it speaks of God's deliverance and God's mercy to him. But now, you know and I know, according to the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the two men on the road to Emmaus, of whom do these scriptures speak? The Lord said, beginning with Moses, all the scriptures, He spake unto them of those things concerning Himself. So really, who is this book about? The Lord Jesus. So when we consider these verses as they relate to the Lord Jesus Christ and the glorious conversion, salvation of His people, Jew and Gentile, according to God's will, then these verses are going to be that which excites the heart and makes it to be one of thanksgiving and to giving honor and praise unto Him that's worthy. Now, you know, Thou hast delivered me from the strivings. Now, listen who's talking, who's praying. This is the obedient servant of Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ. As God, He's God Almighty, never relinquished it, but He humbled Himself, made Himself of no reputation. Here He is praying as the God-man, mediator. Amazing truth. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings, from the contention and the controversy of the people. But not just any people. You hold your place if you want to turn to 2 Samuel 22. This is also recorded. These words are recorded in 2 Samuel 22. And listen, you know, it says in Psalm 18, 43, Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people. In 2 Samuel 22, verse 44, Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of my people. My people. What a distinction. You know, all of God's people are born in this world just like everybody else. God's got a people, and they're people that's been given unto Him. The Lord, we've established that. That God's got a people given unto the Son, a people that He's going to save. And I want you to look, hold your place in Psalm again, and turn over to John 17. These people, the Lord's people, you've delivered me from the strivings of my people. People that were born into this world. How were they born? Well, I hold your place. If you're over in John 17, let me just read this to you. How were they born? Well, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2, it says, Paul proclaiming, writing this letter to the church at Ephesus, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Now, so how are God's people born? They're born wrathful toward God just like everybody else. They're no different in one of God's elect and one left to themselves. God's got a people, but I tell you how they're born. But what does the Scripture say concerning those that are born the Lord's people? They're His elect, but they're born in rebellion against Him. What does He do for them? Well, here's what He says in John chapter 17 in verse 9. Well, I tell you what I'll do. Let me just read verses 6 to 9. John 17, "I've manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, thou gavest them me. They've kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. I've given unto them the words which thou gavest me." Now you notice how distinctly he's speaking concerning these. "I've given unto them the words which thou gavest me, they've received them. They've known surely that I came out from thee. They have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine." So somebody says, well, the Lord prays for everybody, not according to the word of the Lord. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. I pray for those that thou hast given me. So I know this. The Lord, he prays for his people that were given him. Those that were born into this world, rebels against him. But what happens? The Lord said, you've delivered me from the strivings of the people. In time, the Spirit of God is going to come to those that God's given him, and the Spirit of God's going to conquer them powerfully. He's going to deliver the elect of God from their striving against the Lord, from the domination, power of sin over them. Now that old man's going to still be there. They're going to struggle with that old man, but I'm telling you, sin doesn't have dominion over him anymore. You've delivered me from the strivings. What happens in the day of God power? Psalm 110:3, God makes him willing. You know why a man, woman won't bow to Christ? You know why they won't? They want to. They don't want to. I don't want to. I just don't want to. But if Almighty God comes in power, takes that stony heart out and gives them a heart of flesh, breathes in them the breath of life, you know what they do? They want to come now. You know, you want to know why I want to go home with my wife? I want to. That's why I go. I want to. That's why I do it. I want to. So here's you know, the Scripture declares, verse, "Thou hast delivered me," verse 43 in Psalm 18. "Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people. Thou hast made me the head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. Thou hast made me the head of the heathen." Now, you know what? Colossians 1:18 says, "He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." Christ is the head of the body of his people, the church. He's the representative head and surety. From all eternity, he stood for them, answered for them before God. He's the reigning head who governs the body as their king. He loves them, has compassion on them. And he's the providing head by whom every need for the good of his own is supplied. My God shall supply all your need. He's the head. He's the head. Latter part of verse 43, a people whom I have not known shall serve me. That's not that the Lord never knew him at all. He knows all things, but he's always known his people, but according to his everlasting covenant. A people that were strangers to him is what he's talking about. He knew him. He knew who they were. Ephesians chapter 2, again, speaking of even God's elect, they were being strangers. Listen to Ephesians 2, verses 11 to 16. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ. Without him in knowledge, without him in regeneration, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. But now, in Christ, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And this is what the Lord says. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of my people. You delivered me from that. And then he says in verse 44 of Psalm 18, as soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. Now let me tell you something that I do know for a fact. As soon as the elect of God hear of him in power, with new ears, through the preaching of the gospel, they shall obey. I know that for a fact. I know that there is an obedience in the day of God's power when the shepherd speaks. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. God speaks and they hear. They're regenerated by grace. They hear by faith that has been imparted to them. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The thief on the cross heard the Lord speaking. He was just like the other one. The one that called on the Lord, he was one just like the other one. They were both railing on him. And then when the Spirit of God obviously gave that repentant thief a heart, a new heart, regenerate him right there. He did something. He called on the Lord. Lord, when you enter into your kingdom, would you remember me today? Today you'll be with me. Cried out for mercy. What a blessing. Matthew 13, 16 says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. With that power, that word that's quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, there is obedience. That is a fact. And we know that. That's a fact. But that's not what this scripture says. Scripture says in verse 44, as soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. The strangers shall fade away and be afraid out of their close places. While the scripture I know speaks of the surety of God's salvation for his people, they're going to hear. This passage of scripture, and believe me when I say this, I checked it to make sure, because what I'm about to say is going to be, you know, when you hear what I'm about to say, you're going to say, Check it out. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. Now, the strangers. Here in verse 44, just look with me. I'm going to wrap this up. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me, the strangers. Now, the strangers right there, it is referred to as meaning a foreigner, or heathendom is actually the word. And it's from a, and that word, it, you know, is from another word, which means to scrutinize, to be acquainted, to disregard, to ignore. Verse 44, where verse 43 is speaking about the surety of God Almighty delivering from the strivings of the people, his people, against him and saving him. There's something said in verse 44 that is a dire warning to men to be careful. Be careful what you hear. Be careful what you hear. The scripture says, as soon as they hear of me, these strangers, and you may have a margin in your Bible, as soon as they, verse 44, it says, as soon as they hear, it says, at the hearing of the ear, and it says that these strangers, verse 12, sons of the strangers, and they shall submit. Now here's where it gave real indication of what's being said right here. That they should submit themselves. It's, the marginal reading is yield feigned obedience. Insincere obedience. Pretending obedience. Let me tell you what's being said right here. Many people hear, and they hear with a natural ear. Job 42, verse 5 and 6 gave great light to me on this. Job said, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. That's what this marginal said right here. I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. I looked this up. Hearsay knowledge of God. Hearsay. This is what a lot say. This is what they say about him. Not knowing him in a true and heavenly revealed sense. Job said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. The Lord has declared in verse 43, thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, my people. Thou hast made me the head of the heathen, a people whom I've not known shall serve me. That's a fact. God's going to save his people. But there's a lot of hearing about God that's just hearsay hearing. That's what this is saying. Check it out. What's it saying? Let me show you what happens to them. These strangers that as soon as they hear that they shall obey. I'll make a comment on that. Look at verse 45. The strangers. Here again, same word. Same exact word in verse 44. The strangers shall fade away. What does that mean? What do you think it means? They're going to fade away. Well, I thought that God keeps his people by power and grace. He does. He does. God's not going to lose any of his elect. But these people that hear and give feigned obedience, they hear of God's judgment, they hear of justice, and the natural man hears and he gives an insincere allegiance to Christ. That's what's happening. We're gonna have to do religion. I'm gonna have to get back in church or something. I'm gonna get me a Bible and get me a cross and put it around my neck, and I'm gonna have this, that, and the other. And it's just you know. But when the spiritual eye is opened, and God is seen in his true light. This is what Job says. I heard of you by the hearing of the ear. A lot of people hear about God and about Jesus. And let me ask you something. Whenever you hear with just the hearing of the ear, the natural hearing of the ear, and God hasn't done something for a man, a woman, what do? They're going to get religious, and they're going to give feigned, insincere. That's what the marginal reading is correct. It's a feigned obedience. That natural ear hears about sin and everything, and it's gonna make a move, but it's not sincere. God's gonna have to do something for his people. The strangers, verse 45. They shall fade away. Here again, looked it up. What are they going to do? It means they're going to wilt, they're going to fall away, and they're going to fail. And be afraid out of their close places. Those who possess a pretended allegiance. Like that Pharisee over in Acts. Book of Acts. Or Luke, I'm sorry. Went up in the temple to pray. He said, God, oh, I'm so thankful that I'm not as other men are. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not a fornicator. I give all, you know, trusted in himself that he was righteous. And God said, this man went to his house, not justified. As publican, cried out, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I don't have anything to say to you. I have nothing to offer to you. I'm asking you to have mercy on me. That man went down justified. Feigned allegiance is what that's talking about. They shall obey me. When it says obey, but again, they shall obey me, but they obey me with feigned allegiance. Because if it was true, I can tell you this, 45 wouldn't be talking about God's people. These strangers that fade away, fall away, fail. Almighty God is going to stand before him, and everyone that stands before him in their carnal mind, with their carnal works and free will, they're going to find out that their close place, their place of refuge, what they hoped in. But they told me, that preacher told me, he told me if I do this, this, and this, I'd be saved. I'm saved. Well, if it's not according to this book, he lied to you. He lied to you. Well, they can't all be liars. No, they're not all liars. But they're all liars that don't agree with this book. I can tell you that. That's a fact. And then David, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, declared what every believer says. Verse 46, the Lord liveth. Oh, and blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. Not my will, not my works, not my choice. I got one hope. I got one hope. That God Almighty has mercy on this sinner. I have nothing in which to brag, boast, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I'm going to read those four verses again and we're going to stop. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people. Thou hast made me the head of the heathen, a people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. And again, with that feigned obedience, that just pretended, you know. The strangers shall fade away and be afraid out of their close places. The Lord liveth. And blessed be my rock. And let the God of my salvation be exalted. May God bless these words to our hearts, for Christ's sake.